Good morning, Lauren. And here we are again today, having another chat about what's happening in the world. And we've just passed Loyola Bridge on the 1st of February, celebrating the great goddess Bridget and the blessing she brings to us, and the passing of Thich Nhat Hanh during the week, and his many recommendations to us over the years, including wearing a half smile. It'll get all the other organs in your body lifted up and smiling. It's one of the great lessons I remember from him. Another thing that he talks about as well is about being peace. And it's one of the things that, you know, in astrology we talk about peace as being safe and secure in yourself. And so being peace means being at peace with everything within yourself as well as outside yourself. But if there isn't peace with what's outside yourself or somebody outside yourself, it's nothing to do with them, but it's something to do with what's in you about them that you need to resolve yourself with. So instead of complaining about something or somebody, you get an opportunity when you look at yourself, as Thich Nhat Hanh recommended, for self-examination, to take that opportunity to be quiet, to go within and look within yourself. If you're having a problem with your mother, you're part of your mother, and so there's no separation from you really. And so the mother in you, or the part that she's part of you, and like your father's part of you, and your siblings are part of you, and all the other situations in your life, and all those other people, they're all part of you because we're all part of the universe. But these are your particular tribe. And so in astrology, what we do is we look to those individuals to understand who's playing what role that's triggering spots for us that we need to attend to. They're just teachers that are asking us to look at that place in ourselves. And without ever doing astrology, if you ask yourself who's making you angry, or who's putting up an obstacle to you, or who's questioning who you are, or who's loving you. You know, I shouldn't always be so negative about things, nice things going from people to do. So, but who you can have fun with, and who you can play with, and who you can expand with, and who you can work with. And so each house represents one of those circumstances. And each house, if you look at it from a house, a house is a circumstance. And so if you look at it from the house, you'll find out, say if you go to the sixth house from any house, you'll understand something in that place of what's causing the problem. Or if you go to the eighth house, you'd see how serious the problem could be. And maybe there's no getting over that, you know, and maybe you're just there to pay off the debt and just get on with it. If you go to the eighth house, you know, or if you go to the ninth house, you might be having a great conversation with somebody who's an inspiration to you. And so that's the energy that comes from there. And so if you're having a problem with the ninth house, with who's teaching you or who your guide is, well then, if you go to the sixth house from there, you'll see what obstacle you're putting up against the lesson that's coming to you. And so the next, if you go to the seventh house from that, you look at it and you see, well, I have to compromise. If you go seventh from the ninth, which is the third. And so you'll have to balance that out to see, well, can I put up with it or not? Do you walk away or do you try and work it out? But if you go six, seven, if you go six, you can talk it out maybe, you can get over it, you can deal with it. If you get 7, you might be able to compromise and come to some agreement. And if you go to the 8th house, there's probably no getting over it. And so either put up with it or you just have no choice but to live with it, because that's what's going on. That's the reality. That's not going to be changeable. Whereas the 6th house is. But it's always the 6th house that's sort of a problem, is the source of the problem. And it's causing the blockage. So it's good to look at the 6th. It's the pending karma that you have to deal with in any particular house. So, and the way you would find out where the problem is to realise who's top of your list, who's taking up the most space in your head, and what do you do to deal with it. And this is where, you know, there's a lot of these teachers that are there, and it's great, you know, with the internet now and with YouTube, and, you know, we've got lots of opportunities to listen to different teachers. Different teachers suit different people. Different teachers suit at different times, depending on what you want to work out. You know, it could be a business challenge or a cryptocurrency challenge or a, you know, sibling challenge or, you know, so different, you'd need a different teacher, different guide, different guru in those areas, you know, people that are experts in the field. Like, there's no point in going to a plumber when you need a mechanic, or a banker when you need a dressmaker. You know, it's, you go to different people for different reasons. So, and so each house gives you a chance to understand who and what you need to do. And as well, it gives you a sense of where you are in the play of things. Because astrology is a way of understanding what level of development you were at any time in your life, in a particular circumstance. Whether it's with your father or your pet or your, whatever the circumstance, you get them at the beginning, you know, the very start, you get to know them, you grow together, you learn together, you can see which stage of your relationship is at with anybody. And it's again one of the 12 houses that shows you what stage you're at with each of the different beings and circumstances that are in your life. So being alive requires us to be able to look at these things and name them. And I was listening to Jordan Peterson this week as well. And I really found, he made the remark that is very relevant to all of us, but that we're all built to walk uphill. And I just thought it really made me more aware again of, you know, the great thing about asking questions about life is that you get your consciousness expanded every time you ask a question, or you're open to ask a question, or you hear somebody that causes you to stop and think about a question you have. And so because my mind is more taken with the astrology, and somebody says something that sparks, because when he said everybody is we're all built to walk uphill. I'm no good at walking up hills in the physical sense. The only time I tried, we had to get the Order of Malta to rescue me. So I'm not a hill walker. But I've walked many as a hill otherwise. I've walked up many as a hill in terms of personal development and growth and learning and failing and getting up and going again. And so I know what it is to try and get up the hill in areas that I'm interested in. And so then I was thinking, well, okay, the sign of Capricorn is the one associated. And this is interesting to you, Lauren, because Capricorn is your first house. And all the new moon just now is in Capricorn. The sun and moon are there, as are a retrograde Mercury, as is Saturn. So it's a very busy spot. And so this shows the urgency and the need to climb. And the thing is, when the Sun and Saturn are together, like the Sun is the outer darkness, and the Saturn is the outer darkness, and the Sun is the bright light. And the bit in the middle is the purple. It's the twilight zone. And so maybe that's why I'm so fascinated with both. I can't just look at one side. I have to see both sides. I have to see the dark side and the light side and be able to walk that path in the middle of the purple. And I just saw that in an image I was looking at of Krishna and his partner, and they were sitting on a swing, and there in the background is the background with the bright sky and the purple and the black. And I'm thinking, oh, there it is again. Like, it's like you only see it when your eyes are open to it, you know. And so it's a wonderful thing when your eyes get opened again and you get a deeper understanding of what something is and what makes such perfect sense. That twilight zone where we can see more and be open to see more. But when I thought about the Capricorn and the climbing uphill, because that's what the Capricorn symbolizes, is that ability to be practical and to work your way through the obstacles, and the symbol of the mountain goat on his knees if necessary, getting to the top of the mountain. Look up any symbol for Capricorn and you'll surely find that mountain goat determined to get to the top, you know, and they are hugely ambitious. And so that energy, the more planets that go into a sign, the stronger that energy is. And I sent out a message there last week about the Venus and the Mars as well, because these are opposite energies. They're not exactly opposite energies, but they complement each other. It just shows us that there's two sides to everything, you know. The Venus is the beauty and Mars is the warrior. And so the warrior chases, or the young man, what's the name of that book? Men are for Mars and women are for Venus, you know, for any year they're old enough to remember it. And so it is, you know, that energy is there, the male to strive to have the female and be fascinated by the female and to be seduced by the feminine, the Venus. And she can seduce him, and she can take the weapons off him, and eventually, or alternatively, he can and does sometimes very crudely take advantage of the feminine, but still she holds him. And there's a lovely line from one of Leonard Cohen's songs that says, "Everyone to love will come, but like a refugee." And again, I mean, he has some profound lines, but that thing of allowing our hearts to be opened by the softness and the beauty is the role of Venus. She can tackle the demons. She controls the demons. She can manage that part of us that is the savage beast. And so the two of them are together in Sagittarius at the moment. They're about to meet up. And over Valentine's, I'm sure you'll have a lovely time. But as I said, take care. You know, you've got to watch yourself when the heat is up and not be like the poor doggie who goes around distracted, chasing, and she won't even look at him until she fancies him. So you've got to be careful in your chase. And there's another line that's very famous is, we can act in haste and repent at our leisure. And when Venus and Jupiter are, when Venus and Mars are through Sagittarius, they move to Capricorn and they move to Saturn's sign. And Saturn causes us to have to do the cleanup. We have to pick up the brush and I was minded of the brush and the sweeping brush, and they need to clean up the mess. So that's who Venus and Mars are meeting after they leave Sagittarius. And so we can act with all the fire of Sagittarius and this middle of February coming up and Valentine's. And but remember that the next sign you meet is Capricorn, and Saturn is in charge there, and you'll be having to maybe pick up the brush. But the heat will definitely be turned down. The ambition of Mars continues, of course, because he gets exalted in Capricorn. But the other thing I wanted to say about Thich Nhat Hanh as well is his message about being peace and being meditative and being calm and being quiet. And it's being. It's not doing it. It's being it. A big difference. We love to be doing. We always have to be doing something. But in actual fact, to be able to sit with yourself and be with yourself and to make peace with who you are, first house. Make peace with what you came from, second house. Make peace with the people around you, third house. Make peace with your mother, fourth house. Make peace with your children, your creative abilities, fifth house. Don't be compared with anyone else. Love what you love. It's in your heart. And truth, be true to yourself and give your heart to it if you do. Be at peace with the enemy. I've not there. Be at what is it? Be at peace with your neighbours and at war with your vices is the message for the sixth house. Be at peace with your neighbours and at war with your vices. V-I-C-E-S now, just in case you miss. You didn't get the full context there. Be at peace with your partner. Be at peace with your lifetime challenges, the debts that you've come in to pay off. You have no choice but to deal with it. Be at peace with your father. Be at peace with your guru. You know, the father, the guru, the teacher is the ninth house. Be at peace with the work that you're doing and your boss and the challenges that face you in your working situation. And striving, because that's the other thing that's there, as Jordan Peterson said, you know, we all want to climb. We all want to walk uphill. You know, we all have the ambition and a hill that we have to walk. That's our own walk. That's our own hill. And honour it and be at peace with the one that's yours, whatever it is yours to do, and not be envious of others or watching what others are doing or whatever. We all have our own walk to do. And the other one is, the next one is Aquarius, and being at peace within your community and contributing to your community from all you've learned through having made your peace with all that part of the journey, and eventually coming to Pisces, where you be at peace, or the 12th house, with the great ocean of awareness and spirituality, and to get a good night's sleep, you know, you surrender yourself to that place. And the challenge as far as, you know, has to start with yourself. You know, if you cannot appreciate yourself or tidy up your own space or get yourself in order, then you're not going to be able to do any of the other 12. And I keep coming back to that, that we have to learn to take care of ourselves. Self-care is the most important and the most worthwhile second house, you know, the most challenging or adventurous, the third house, the most calm, a safe place for you is with the fourth house. And these are the when we look at all of these teachers that are out there in all different ways telling us basically the same thing, and we have been given privileges, we have been given courses in our lives, you know, and to respect and honour them. And a course is only, it's only, and I'm not saying in any sense that it's only to minimise it, I'm just saying that something that's a real difficulty for you to deal with is something that we need to correct in ourselves. Now, we might, it's ultimately, it comes down to not being able to relate with somebody. It's somebody we're fighting with. And maybe there's another way. Maybe you can change your attitude around the person. Another thing to do is maybe pray for them and wish them well and keep wishing them well until you stop giving out about them. Because everything you're seeing in them, if you spot it, you got it. Everything you're seeing in them is in you anyway. Because everything that's in anyone is in everyone. You know, everything that's in anyone is in everyone. You think it might be only you, but you're not alone in your suffering. You're not alone in your misery. You're not alone in your envy, your greed, your anger. These are the things that cause us obstacles. We're not alone in the love. We're not alone in, you know, the joy, the generosity. We have all those qualities as well, you know. And this is the thing that we need to recognize, is the beauty that we have in ourselves, and to see the beauty in the things that are around us. We won't always see it, especially when we get angry. And we might all feel at the moment that we have good cause to be angry with the madness that's going on in the world, and people with masks on their faces, and you don't know who's coming through the door, or you meet people that you thought you could have known, and I can't recognise you because they're wearing a mask over their face. I can't even breathe in it. I can't even breathe in it. And it's terrible going into a shop and they're saying to you, "Where's your mask?" And you have to put on this rag over your face that you know does nothing, and but you're just performing for them. And I don't want to go into those shops again because they humiliate me in it. And I don't want to go into a restaurant not knowing whether I can go into it or not. It's not nice. It's just not the way to operate in our small little country where we all know each other, we need each other. And I was reared in a business and I ran a business, and the most thing you have to offer some your customers a smile and a good day to you and thanks very much. And that's civilised behaviour. This is not. You know, and to encourage people to be taking drugs, and the country poisoned with them, and the water's poisoned with them, and the fish poisoned with them. And it's less of it we need to be taking, not more of it. So anyway, these are the things. These are my sixth house issues at the moment. Get down on the platform for a minute and finish my story. The thing of, as I said, who are you fighting with? Are you fighting with the partner? What is it about you that attracted that individual that needed to learn from that person? Because they're all our teachers. Whether we failed in the relationship or not, they're all our teachers. And they've been coming to help us to learn and to open our hearts in that space. And so it is with the other houses. What I came to be aware of in this is that the first six houses are the first six signs of the zodiac are all giving us the talents we need to work with ourselves, our inner selves. But from the seventh to the 12th house is us working with people outside ourselves and our challenges in our everyday out in life when we go out there. So the seventh is the significant other. The eighth is our debts that have to be paid off. The ninth, and you can see how you're broadening your horizon with these people. They're bringing you further and further. The ninth is your faith and your philosophy and how it grows over time as you learn and as you expand your, go through your lessons. And the people you meet that help you to expand. Your tent is the work you do. And for people to see you, to put it on show, there's no need to be shy of it. There's no need to, because it's your tent. It's you out there, up at the top of the mountain, having climbed all the obstacles to get there, from 1 to 10. The little shoot of grass that came up through the ground in Aries, and that's the symbol for it, is now at the top of the mountain in Capricorn. It's made the whole journey through the up to make it to that level. And when you make it to that level, that you're able to build a mountain out of a blade of grass, out of the tiniest speck and spark, and it comes to that height of fulfilling its objective, having created what it wanted to create or built the world that it wanted to create, then we're ready to go home, having had enough, having fulfilled our destiny, and we're ready in the Aquarius sign to help other people in the community who are only starting maybe at beginning to face those fears and face those challenges and see themselves for how they are. And so we're helped to help other people in our community. And that's often what the elders are doing anyway. And then in the 12th house, we go back to the church. We go back to God. No, we can't take God out of our constitution. No matter who decides, it doesn't suit them. Because the living spirit that makes everything happen has designed this whole process that makes us all one. There isn't a multitude of us. There's just one divine energy operating that's allowing us to fulfill our role in divine design. And I know it's going through Strasbourg at the moment to remove God from the Irish Constitution. I think it's an absolute outrage. Another fighting point at the moment with me that it should be, such a thing should be suggested, because our constitution was put together by our ancestors and fought for by our ancestors, and we should be proud of it as we are in what we come from and who we came from, and respect who they are. I'm not saying we couldn't change and move on, but we need to respect the tradition we came from and the values that they carried and fought for to allow us our freedoms. And our freedom, like even my freedom today to be here as a woman, talking like this, talking about astrology and what it can mean for us. And there's so many blessings. Most people dismiss it as nonsense. And I don't mind. They haven't studied it. They're not in a position to speak about it, really. But they do like to speak about it. They like to mock it and say it's nonsense or whatever, you know. And fair enough, I don't mind. Because I know it's a beauty. And so when you experience something as a beauty, nothing can take you from it. You know, it can't help but catch your eye every time. Whether it's the handsome face or the swing of the hips or the, you know, the beautiful flower, or, you know, beauty is beauty. It is what it is. It catches who it catches. It's in the eye of the beholder. And our best solution in any situation is to look for the beauty. But we still have to acknowledge when the ugliness starts to show itself. But look for the beauty, because that has to be there too. I'll just finish with this, that Oscar Wilde said that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. You know, and that's the truth. We all carry that light and that darkness and that purple zone. So thanks very much for listening to me. And that's it for today. Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Pearl.